Hello and welcome to The Big Table with me, Philip Limbury. I'm in a very busy London hotel today, meeting with Eric Solheim, the Executive Director of the United Nations Environment Programme. And we talk about the central place of food and farming in saving the planet, and how hopeful he is at making real progress. Eric, it's a real pleasure meeting you today. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. You've been with the United Nations Environment Programme now for getting on a couple of years as the Executive Director. How has it been?
It has been very interesting. We have been able to move some issues to the really top of the global agenda. One of them is plastics. It's of course not the one and only environment issue, but it's an important one. We have also started working on issues like environment security, which is the linkage between war and conflicts and environment degradation. I mean, climate change making droughts, and droughts displace people, and that's a source of conflict, as an example. So we are working hard on many, many issues.
And where does the food system sit in terms of environmental priorities?
I mean, food is the most, or one of the most central issues for human life, obviously. We need to produce more and better food. We need to produce it with less impact on the environment. And we need to waste a lot less. I mean, there is a huge number of issues. And we need to increase the productivity also, so that few people are destroying the forest and other ecosystems, just expand agriculture.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the fact that the way that we produce our food covers nearly half the usable land surface of the planet is just immense. And what Compassion in World Farming has always been worried about is the development of industrial forms of agriculture, which it can be very destructive, and as well as being a massive farm animal welfare issue, and that's where we come from. Just give me a sense of how much you're accelerating moves to a more sustainable food system.
I think it's a mixed bag. I mean, there are lots of positives in the sense that these issues are much higher on the agenda. There is a new generation of people, let's call it a global middle class or young people, who are much more interested and have a much more ethical view on this than maybe their parents or grandparents had. You see individual moves by supermarket chains to reduce the waste. I mean, you see quite a lot is happening. But it does not at the moment come together into a kind of global sustainable food chain. So there's a lot more to be done.
What we've recently been talking about is also the fact that industrial agriculture is also a major driver of declines in biodiversity. And where does biodiversity fit in with the work that you do at UNEP?
Biodiversity is front and center of what we do, because we want to protect all the iconic animals on the planet, like say the elephants or the whales or the tigers or leopards, but we also want to protect the big ecosystems, the rainforest or the deserts or the Arctic. I mean all the major ecosystems. And true, farming is a main threat to ecosystem if it's not done in the right way. But however, we are also looking into how practice can change. We are, for instance, now working with the government of Andhra Pradesh in southern India to transform 6 million farms there into environment-friendly agriculture, which will be basically good for everything. We believe it will increase the crops. It will be very good for the biodiversity, because you will see more insects and other animals coming back. And it will be good for climate change and the environment. So and you will save a lot of money, because the government of India today spend a lot of money subsidizing fertilizer and pesticides and other ways of doing agriculture which are not really necessary.
What in your view could be the consequences of if we don't change the way that food production is going?
I guess there are many different issues. I mean, you mentioned animal welfare, which to me is an ethical issue. I mean, how can humans be cruel to common beings on the planet? We need to avoid and stop that. But of course, we need to produce sufficient food for everyone on the planet. We don't want anyone to suffer from hunger or lack of food. We need nutritious food. A lot could also be It could also be won just by avoiding the waste. I mean, we are wasting, don't know the exact figure, but maybe 40% of all food which is produced is simply thrown away in developed countries like mine, Norway, or in the United Kingdom, mainly because of households or shops are throwing away, which is a little bit not fresh. While in developing nations, it maybe the lack of refrigerating systems or system to really stock food in a good way.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you talk about food waste, and you're absolutely right that a third or more of food globally is ends up in the bin or rots in fields for want of simple innovations like a decent grain store in developing countries. One of the things which I've been writing about quite a bit in recent years is the waste of food through feeding human edible crops like corn and soya and what have you to industrially reared animals. And in this way, we essentially waste enough crops to feed an extra 4 billion people on the planet, which, to me is just a mind-blowing statistic. And that's not to say that an extra 4 billion people on the planet is a great idea environmentally, but to say that, on simple macro statistics, we can feed everyone today and into the future using less farmland rather than more, taking pressure off of hard-pressed habitats. And that to me gives greater urgency to the need to really move to a system of producing food that isn't based on factory farming, industrial agriculture. We've seen with plastics that there was a tipping point. Blue Planet, David Attenborough sparked a popular outcry against single-use plastic packaging. Essentially, the things which we buy gets wrapped in and we stick it in the bin. What would you see as the tipping point for change in the food system in that similar way?
I think when we see great change in human behavior and in politics, is normally always two or three factors coming together. Number one, people demand change. Secondly, business starting innovate and spur change. And thirdly, governments act and try to regulate markets. What you've seen in the UK when it comes to plastics is, my view, very interesting, because the two main channels here have both in different ways made plastic a big topic. And through that, they have brought it out of the group of, say, converted environmentalists and into the man or woman in the street.
My belief, Eric, is that the way food is produced is an issue for all of us too. And what I've discovered is that factory farming is not only the biggest issue of animal cruelty on the planet, it is also a major driver of wildlife declines, which gives each and every one of us as consumers a fantastic opportunity. Because we have three times a day we have an opportunity to cut out an awful lot of farm animal cruelty and save wildlife from extinction by choosing the right things. And to my mind, the right things would look like buying pasture-fed, free-range, organic, agroecological styles of food. But I think that if we're really going to save the planet, and you will know this much more than I, being in the big chair at the United Nations, we're going to need really a global agreement to move from where we are now, which is an increasingly damaging food system, to something much better for animals, people and planet. And that's a project that Compassion in World Farming is very much looking to connect with other interests and to work with the United Nations on. What would be your advice to us about trying to move forward towards that kind of global agreement?
I think, again, I'm a very, very strong believer in focusing on issues which are close to people. And food is an issue close to people, as you say, eating three times a day or quite often, even more often. So it's an issue which is easy to start a conversation with the average person. Food is such an issue which offers itself for the conversation around the kitchen table, and that should be fairly easy to bring a more of a mass movement.
There's a real sense now that time is running out, really. You know, we see this in the arena of climate change. We see it in the arena of biodiversity. We see it in the arena of farm animal welfare, where globally, despite the fact that we've made so much progress, really, getting rid of battery cages in Europe and veal crates and so on, worldwide, there are more animals factory farmed today than ever before, which has a knock-on effect in terms of pollution and biodiversity. So I think that there's a growing realization that fixing the broken food system is as important as climate change in many respects, and the two are interlinked. So I hope that we can continue the conversation.
No, I mean, let's definitely continue this conversation. I mean, we know some of the basics. I mean, world population will stabilize around 10 billion people. It's now at 7 or 7.5. We want to bring all these people into the global middle class, leave no one behind in poverty. And then we will need a substantial amount of more food, but at the same time better food, and a number of the practices we do have today are not sustainable. I mean, we cannot on average eat as much meat as those who have the most meat. We need to make sure that soil is not destroyed. We should move towards much more animal welfare and a more ethical agriculture. And we cannot expand the part of the planet which is under the plow, because we need to protect the forest and all the other ecosystems. So there are a lot of challenges here. If we can reduce waste, we come a long way. If we can move into more environment-friendly agriculture, but agriculture which have the same productivity, will be great. And I think all this is possible with modern methods.
I get the sense that you're hopeful that we can turn things around.
No, I'm a fundamental optimist, because humanity has resolved huge issues in the past. I mean, you can take the real big issues. I mean, 200 years back, slavery was normal everywhere on the planet. Then a few people here in London, in fact, raised the flag and said, hey, is this normal? But at the time, lots of priests said it's in the Bible, lots of Muslim leaders said it's in the Quran, and of course the economists of the time said the British Empire will go down and under if we stop slavery. Today, of course, it's the idea of slavery basically abolished from the planet. You found no TV channel or magazine who are proponents of slavery. Much more recent examples, I mean, nations really stepped up fighting smoking. Ireland was the first nation on the planet in 2004. I know it because Norway was the second, so that's why I remember it so well. But Ireland was the first nation to prohibit smoking in restaurants. At the time, Guinness said that the economy will go down and under, and the restaurant business will be destroyed. You had all these doomsayers saying it cannot be done. Well, the Irish did it, then others followed. And today, the opposite is the case. It's very, very hard to find any restaurant anywhere on the planet that are allowed to smoke. So in 14 years, you have gone from smoking allowed everywhere to smoking not allowed anywhere. So change can happen very fast.
I'm always hopeful that we can change things around. I'm much more hopeful having spoken to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.